Interstate Batteries is a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation. So if you're looking for high quality batteries, you need to check out a local Interstate Batteries retail store, or you can visit them online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Transition Wild Podcast, brought to you by Expedition Archery. I'm your host, Adam Parr, and you're listening to episode number 52, where we talk with Josh Neville on his 2019 Montana Elk Hunt. Hello, hello, and thanks again for tuning into the Transition Wild Podcast, the number one source for Western big game hunting. I just want to take a moment and say thank you to everybody who has listened to the podcast, has checked out the website, has, taken the time to send me an email or a message. I just really, really appreciate the support and the positive feedback that I'm getting from everyone out there. And I love hearing people's, successes. I love hearing about people's first elk hunt. All that's just really cool, and I love hearing it. So I just want to say thanks again for everybody tuning in and following along with, this journey, and hopefully you're learning a thing or two, and that's what's cool. We get to learn together and talk with some cool guests. If you haven't yet, definitely go to search Transition Wild on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts, and go subscribe to the Transition Wild podcast. It's much appreciated, and it helps out tremendously with getting this out there to more people. So make sure you go do that, and you can subscribe at sportsmansnation.com, the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network. Lots of good content there for anything and everything you want to hear about hunting. You want fishing, you want gear reviews, you want turkey hunting, you want whitetails, you want big game. It's all there. So definitely go check out sportsmansnation.com, and you can subscribe to a number of different feeds on that network as well. Well, it's here beginning October, and the 2019 Colorado archery elk season has come and went, and it was an interesting year for sure. I was thinking that it would be lights out, lots of elk running around, and that is the case. There's definitely a lot of elk running around, and for the few times that I was able to get out, definitely had some good bull encounters with some friends and family. But what was weird about this season, it seemed like the rut was just kind of non-existent up until the last week of the season. So, I was having, and I talked to a lot of people throughout the season, but a lot of the consensus was there just wasn't a lot of bugling or rutting activity for those first 3 weeks, and then it just kind of opened up that last week. So if you were hunting last week in Colorado, it was definitely a good time to be in the woods. So it was a cool year for sure. It seemed like it was kind of different in regards to the timing of the rut, or and obviously the rut doesn't change drastically year to year. It's always just kind of is what it is, but maybe it just wasn't at the same intensity. There wasn't as noticeable. They weren't as active as well as much, jam-packed action. So it was just interesting to say the least. So, as I kind of watch year after year and kind of how things unwind based on weather and a drought versus a rainy year, cold versus hot weather, I'm trying to figure out trends, and so far each year's a little bit different, so we'll see. But nonetheless, it's always cool. Congrats to everybody who killed elk in Colorado and anywhere in the West. I mean, my buddy Bo, who I had on the podcast recently, he killed a great bull in Montana. My buddy Josh, who I'm talking with today, he killed an awesome bull. And it seems like a lot of people are having success this year. So that's really, really cool. So hats off to all you guys. All right. So today I'm joined by my buddy Josh, and I've had him on the podcast before. He's hilarious. Love him. worked with him when I first moved out to Colorado, and he's since moved back to Missouri, but he's been, you know, continuing to elk hunt, you know, year after year and going on these week trips, and, you know, he's been at it for 5 years now. And this past, you know, couple weeks ago, he was able to take his very first elk, a bull in Montana with a bow, which is really, really cool. I was so happy for him, so stoked when I saw the photos, and I just had to have him on the show just to hear all about it. And, you know, just kind of relive the hunt. So that's what we're talking about today, just catching up with Josh and detailing his 2019 Montana elk hunt. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get my buddy Josh Neville on the line. Before we begin, today's episode is brought to you by Expedition Archery, manufacturer of the world's finest archery experience. Expedition bows combine aerospace-level quality, innovative designs, and a fluid feel serious hunters demand. Test drive one today at your nearest archery retailer and view their full lineup at expeditionarchery.com. Why settle for status quo when opportunity and adventure awaits? Make your next hunt an expedition. All right, on the line with us now, my good buddy, the man himself, Josh Neville. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, Adam. Appreciate the call. And first off, congratulations on the new young son, Everett, to Jenna.
Thanks, awesome brother. Stuff. Thanks, brother. I really appreciate it. It's a whole different world, but it's pretty amazing, man. I love it.
I can imagine, man. I was a little worried there, you know, for a little bit. I was like, where's Adam? Can you post or anything? And then I saw, congratulations. He's a father now. Yeah. Father Adam.
Oh yeah, yep. Father Adam. I kinda took a social media hiatus there. I haven't had hardly any time, or at least in that first month. It was just nuts, man. I just couldn't get online at all.
I can imagine, man. It's no problem with that. I completely understand that. Trickier, you know, you have a kid out there, it's hard to, you know, get on social media and do normal stuff.
Oh yeah, well, and parlay it with, I actually switched to a flip phone about 4 or 5 months ago, and so that makes it even tougher.
Oh, flip phone, who are you?
I'm going off the grid. I like it. I'm going off the grid, man. You won't ever see me again.
Damn, I need to start mailing letters to you soon.
I know, can we be pen pals? We'll just write each other.
Might as well be.
Oh man, well, it's all good. I appreciate the congrats, man. That's much appreciated.
Yeah, awesome stuff.
Well, what's going on in your neck of the woods? You just jamming elk steaks down your throat or what?
I wish I was, honestly. Like I said, I'm sitting here in Dallas, Fort Worth at an airport and thinking about elk, watching. I sell social media, so I'm still looking at it and people are shooting elk left and right. So yeah, I wish I was jamming elk sticks on my throat, but
when you get back,
exactly. When I get back, I'll have lots of elk.
Yeah,
but, no, it's good, man.
For sure. Oh, speaking of just social media in general, did you see the bull that Joe Sir killed? That thing is a giant, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. I called him. He called me that night, I think, after he shot that thing, and like, he's like, "Yeah, it's a big elk, man. I mean, he busted his ass on the elk. I mean, he shot it the last day, and he's like, yeah, it's a big elk, but I mean, I didn't measure anything yet, so he got home and measured it. He's got like a, sort of, I mean, my opinion, sort of doesn't matter, but he's got like a 340 elk sitting at his house, and he showed me a picture of his elk next to that elk. It dwarfed it. I mean, it's definitely all of 370. All day.
I was gonna say, man, that thing is definitely up there. It's definitely a Boone and Crockett bull that he killed. It was giant, crazy.
Yeah. It sounds like it was his John was filming it for him too. So it sounds like they're bugling the whole time, and man, bugling right in his face. It's amazing footage.
I gotta have him on my podcast at some point. That'd be pretty cool.
Definitely, you know.
Yeah. For sure. Well, man. The only reason I brought that up because I know you had hunted with Joe in the past, and you know, you've been hunting elk for a number of years. Me and you used to work together and live here in Colorado.
Back in the good old days.
The good old days, man. And yeah, I miss you, brother. I wish you were out here more often.
Yeah, me too, man. You can't get enough of the mountains out there. You can't get enough of bugle and elk in September. I promise that. That's all I dream about. So, you know, living in Missouri is a little tough not being able to hear them as much as I could. But I envy you for being able to stay out there and stuff. So I'll definitely need to get out there more often.
No kidding. I direct everybody to go elk hunt in Colorado, but maybe I should start telling them Montana's the spot to go.
Yeah, Montana's a... It was my first time in Montana too. It was obviously, you know, I've only hunted I hunted Montana once before that rifle season, which wasn't the best, but majority of it's all been Colorado, and I love Colorado and I love the hunting out there. I think you can attest to this hunting there and hunting in Michigan is, you know, there is a lot of hunters out there, and that they're, you know, the terrain and the people, it makes you, in my personal opinion, a better hunter trying to find elk, because that's the goal. And you're pretty much hunting the hunters and getting away from them and trying to find the elk.
Yeah.
So going, you know, taking those same tactics, what I've learned in Colorado, and, you know, taking them into Montana, you know, you don't have the people and you can find elk so much easier. And it was truly refreshing getting out there. Maybe it's a one-off, and, you know, I'm sure there's people everywhere, but I applied everything, and, you know, the whole time I was on elk,
yeah,
you know, it was still a little early in the rut, but overall, it was an awesome hunt. It was just a game-rich environment,
yeah,
that you don't usually get a lot of times in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. I was honestly thinking that exact same thing the other day. 'Cause I was like, yeah, like Colorado is a lot like Michigan or Pennsylvania. There's a lot of, you know, just like Michigan or just like Colorado and Michigan, there's a lot of deer, and I mean, it's a game rich environment, but it can be tough because it's just, there's so many hunters. Same thing with Colorado. We got the most elk, you know, largest elk population in the lower 48 here. But we also get the most hunters, so it can be tough that way. And I was literally thinking that exact same thing, because it's so many hunters, it can be tough, it's pressured, and just finding them is an obstacle in itself. I've been seeing a lot on Idaho, Montana, some of these other states, and you know, people are having some better success, maybe just because it's less population, for sure.
I mean, you know, you and I and guys are going into Colorado and stuff, like I typically have a week to hunt, and, you know, I do all the research, Google or on X, and just, you know, looking, finding the spots without actually putting your boots on the ground. Where typically when I'm in Colorado, I would do that. I have so many different spots I have to hit just to find the elk.
Yeah.
And you can find it where I went to Montana. I mean, I could get on them fairly quickly.
Really?
It was surprising. Like, you apply those same tactics, you can find those elk and get on them. And you know, the patient can find the big ones too. But like I absolutely love hunting in Colorado, and I will continue always out there. But it teaches you, and that's what I think. And, you know, going into these other states, it's taught me a lot. I can get on elk pretty quick now and find them within a few days. And I credit always just hunting in Colorado. So no, it was an awesome hunt. From a hunting standpoint, from an elk hunting standpoint, you couldn't ask for a better hunt in terms of animals, bugling, good weather, awesome terrain to be in. So I had a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of want to detail a little bit, because I really don't know any details of the hunt, although I know you killed a bull there this year, but
yeah.
I kind of want to, you know, detail everything from the planning process to, you know, starting the hunt and, you know, going throughout the week or whatever, and then ultimately killing your bull. But what made you want to go to Montana over, let's say, Idaho or another state? Like, why Montana, and how did that kind of whole initial process begin?
I mean, there's a couple of reasons. One, I do like the fact that, yeah, it is a general tag, but you still have to draw to get into it, which is nice. It is more expensive, so basically I was looking for what's going to cut the people down, get people out. So that was my number one priority. And then my second was, I have a buddy who lives in Bozeman, so I knew I could get him to go with me to go hunt out there. So those are my two, you know, main priorities when I picked Idaho or Montana, because I was looking between Montana and Idaho, but I didn't want to necessarily go over the counter hunt. I, you know, wanted to go to Montana, at least put a little, keep the expense ups and, you know, have it a draw.
Yeah.
To get a tag. So that was my main reason.
Does Montana have any over the counter archery elk opportunities?
I mean, they're definitely, like, it's pretty much over the counter. It's just a general tag that you have to apply for, and they'll typically have leftover stuff, but they've been cutting back on their tag the past few years. So, it's, you know, technically it's getting a little harder to get, but hypothetically, I mean, it's pretty much over the counter. You just have to go through the process. You can't just drive there and get a tag.
Got it. That makes sense. So you have this buddy in Bozeman, and was he kind of familiar with maybe some of the area that you guys were looking at hunting, or was it completely blind?
It was, I did a lot of scouting going into it. He's been out there for about a year now, so I mean, he's getting into elk hunting as well.
Okay, yeah.
You know, he's new to it, and, you know, definitely a good help. But basically what went into is starting in June, I talked to a few guys who live out there, I wasn't asking for honey holes by any means. All I was just basically saying, what general parts of the state can I get on elk? I'm not looking for a 400 class bull. I'm just looking to get on a lot of animals at 1 week. Let me get in on them.
Yeah.
So it was kind of pointing me in the right direction. And then based from that, I was just doing the research, doing the Google Earth, looking at the terrain, finding the water, finding the food, finding north facing slopes, and just kind of, you know, picking out areas that I think elk would go in bed, go back and forth, and kind of find those transition zones. And basically I found within, you know, this area, four spots that I thought elk, just from the terrain, and I felt like there was water there and there would be food there every year that I could probably get on elk. And it was, you know, at least 3 miles away from a road and pretty much off a trail. So putting a lot of the same tactics that I apply when I go to Colorado, that I know there's people where I probably wouldn't have to use as detailed tactics, because there was no people there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So it was great, you know, and using those tactics, I think it really helped. And about a week before I went out there, and, you know, I shared my screen with and shared my waypoints and stuff with my buddy who lives in Bozeman. And he went out to a spot as well. He kind of hunted, and he got into elk right away. So he's like, yeah, you need to come out to this spot. So obviously, I've never been out here. I wanted to go to this spot with him. And, you know, he said he's been an elk, so that's the whole battle, just finding him. So
yeah,
went out with him and got up. I mean, we got an elk right away. I mean, it was an awesome area, but it was easy terrain. It was some of the thickest terrain I've hunted. There's a lot of elk in there, but they weren't coming to the calls. So it was a little, to me, what told me, it was a little early in the rut, and I hadn't researched. I didn't know the area that well, so it was hard for me to get on these elk. And, you know, we did that for about 3 days. I'm just kind of, we're getting close to elk, but more times than not, we're just, you know, still hunting them, and it was hard to still hunt. I'd kind of bump them sometimes. So, you know, what I wanted to do, I'm like, let's just back out of here. Let's go hit those other, you know, other spots I had where I could at least glass.
Yeah.
And I could see the elk and figure out a game plan.
Yeah, for sure.
But actually, so my plan B spot was a spot in the Gravelly Mountains. And, you know, that week when I was hunting, I got out, we're going to go to that spot. I got a text from a bunch of people back home. They're like, hey man, just seeing if you're doing all right. You know, we haven't heard anything. Come to find out, there's a spot out there, like the spot I was literally going to hunt. There's three guys attacked by grizzly bears. I closed the whole area down.
No kidding. I saw that. I saw that story about that grizzly bear attack, and no shit. You were checking out that spot.
Literally.
Huh?
Literally that spot.
Oh, Josh.
The whole Cottonwood Pass. I was that was my, that's where I was going to go next after the first spot.
Oh, man.
But But yeah, they closed down, so it didn't make it in there.
Wow. That's crazy. So that's one question I was going to ask is, like, were you in Grizzly Country? And it sounds like you were.
Yeah. So the first spot I wasn't, but the spot I'm going to, like, you know, where I shot my elk was Grizzly Country.
Really?
Which is a little different than what I'm used to.
Yeah, I was going to say, does the feeling just change, like, when you're leaving the trailhead or the truck and you're hiking in? Like, is it just a different type of feeling?
I would say, yeah, you know, right when I, my first time actually, so by myself, hunting Grizzly Country was, you know, right when I get hitting that trail, yeah, it's like, damn, the grizzly gonna come out, and kind of gets you a little anxious. But honestly, man, like when you start walking in there, it's like, nah, it's really no different than, you know, hunting Colorado or anywhere else with black bears and stuff. It's, you know, that isn't, once you start doing it, you completely forget about it. But obviously, you're more conscientious and having clean camps and stuff and just being a little safer than you typically would. But I kind of like it. It's kind of fun being in a, I guess, an adrenaline rush to be out there.
Yeah.
If you will.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And just to kind of set the stage for hunting, like, what type of hunting were you doing? Were you staying at your buddy's house and driving? Were you tent camping on the road? Were you hiking in with tents and, you know, sleeping bags, that sort of thing? What did that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I predominantly only hunt off, you know, the packs and, you know, have my tents. And typically I'm in Colorado, I'll hunt, just kind of hike around and hunt and follow the elk around. You know, that's what I did in Montana too. So we were about 6 miles in from the trailhead and camped in, brought our tents in, and set up a little site back there. Which is fun. You can sit in a trailhead and came spike from there and get on elk, no problem. I personally just love getting back away from, you know, civilization and having more of the adventure style and just being back there. It's just something I prefer to do and be back away from people.
Yeah. I mean, elk can be killed in both scenarios for sure.
Like, for sure.
One thing I've been doing a lot this year, I haven't been hunting, but been taking family and friends and stuff out a little bit when I can, but just getting into these small little BLM chunks and mm-hmm. not really having to walk that far. I mean, a 10-minute walk and you're hunting elk, which is pretty neat, but the experience of getting everything into your pack and hiking in and setting up a camp somewhere, that's like totally cool. And I recommend everybody do it. It's totally badass.
Sure. Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. You can kill elk 20 feet from your car if you want. No problem. I don't get a live out there anymore. So I prefer to be as deep as I can.
Yeah.
To see as much as I can.
For sure. Yeah. And that's completely different too. You know, as a non-resident, you only get a week or so to hunt. You want that experience. And part of that is just going remote and roughing it and having a blast at the same time.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
That's sweet. So you kind of tried out this one spot and then you went to plan B, but that didn't pan out because of the grizzly attacks. So now you're at basically plan C, or did you go back to the original area?
No, so yeah, I went to Plan C spot. It was another area, and basically the goal of that area was I knew I could glass and get on some elk, and it was a good area that I was pretty much 80% sure there would definitely be elk back there. So basically hiked back in, 6 miles, got our camp set up. This would be Wednesday night, got our camp set up. And then that evening went up just right above camp, not too far. And there's this basin where I knew there's bedding, there's feed, there's water that I could glass up in there and hopefully catch some elk coming in out of bedding. And I mean, just like clockwork, 6 o'clock, elk started funneling out of their bedding area. You know, they're working their way, feeding their way through, you know, this basin. I just watched them all evening, and, you know, I can tell you, it's so much more refreshing going to bed knowing I can see elk in there and I know where they're feeding.
Yeah.
That I had a game, you know, having a game plan in the morning to go after those elk and, you know, catch them. You already have this idea of where they're going to be. It just makes it that much easier going forward. So, I mean, it was working like clockwork.
Yeah. That's kind of a rarity in Colorado. I don't think I've ever hardly it's hard to just find them, and then you go back the next day and they're just not there, you know. It just doesn't happen like that.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's really cool, man. So you got to an area where it was more open and you can kind of glass some of these big drainages, and you were having some good success with that, sounds like.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, honestly, like, there's elk in front of us that night, and then there's elk literally behind us. It was like, it was just, you know, kind of pick your drainage to go into. But the thing was, that night I hadn't seen any bulls, but there was way too many cows to not be a bull in there somewhere. So what I knew going to, you know, sleep that night was that morning I was going to get up early and try to get up in that mountain and, you know, try to cut them off before they go back to bed. That morning woke up, hiked about halfway up the mountain. Thermals were still coming down on us. So as they're coming down, I was kind of walking along this ridge. I could smell them above me, and, you know, I knew where they were bedding. So I just kind of paralleled them as they were walking through this kind of thicker stuff. And just paralleled them along this ridge. And I knew it would open back up. So my goal was to at least beat them to this spot, and knowing that they'd probably get there before the thermals turned on me, that I could probably get a shot. And, you know, got to that spot, and there's actually cows already, you know, working their way through. So it's perfect. Got set up, and we're just sitting there. All of a sudden, this bull came out, and it was actually a bull. I was going to try to shoot. Barely shoot him, and he dipped down to this, bull, I guess, and going to go after him. But there's cows kept kind of funneling. So I'm just gonna let him sit, let him funnel through. Spikes were coming through, about 5 minutes later, my bull stepped out, and I was like, perfect. He's at 35 yards, stepped out, pulled back. He looked right at me, and, you know, pile drive them. I mean, it was easy.
Badass.
When we've elk hunted a lot, and I would say there hasn't been an elk hunt like that where it's worked to exactly how I planned it, is what that did, you know? So it was like, I shot him at 7:30 that morning. It worked perfect, and, sat there for a little bit and probably waited about 2 hours. Just wanted to give him a shot. I mean, it was a good shot. And ended up, after I shot him, there was zero blood.
Really?
So that was disheartening, to say the least. I'm like, zero blood, so we're scanning this basin, and I saw the herd he was with, and, watched him go bed, so I knew he was going to be from where I was to where they're bedding, and basically, waited those 2 hours and glassed, and basically I was just hiking around looking, like at my first shed, looking for an elk.
Yeah, and grid searching.
And found him. Yeah, grid searching a mountain. And still, like, I don't understand, why there was no blood, but either way, I found them.
That's wild. So, like, what ended up happening? Was it a high lung or something, or what?
So it was it got the lung. It was a high lung, yeah. I have a new arrow set up this year, and I switched it up to, I did a single bevel broadhead setup and super heavy arrow. I mean, I think it was like 500, grains per inch. I think it was a super heavy arrow.
Yeah.
And I mean, a super sharp broadhead. I don't know. Like, the only thing I can, put it to is, like, the broadhead was so sharp that it went through. Like, it literally didn't, it bled a little bit on the inside and it got the lungs, but it didn't bleed anywhere else. So it was like, I don't know, man. Like, it was interesting to me. I had never seen anything like it. It just adds to the debate that everyone has with these broadheads. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. Like, it was, I love the setup. I think it shot well. It goes through anything, but, like, I didn't believe. So it was interesting to me.
Yeah. That's the catch 22. You want the penetration. You want to pass through, ideally, but if it's if it slides through so easily and doesn't cut a hole for it to bleed, then it's like, okay, right. Well, you know, yeah, that's also not good.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Exactly.
So you basically shot this bull and you kind of let him sit for a while. You grid search.
Yep.
And how did you end up finding him? Like walking up to him, or were you glassing? How did that go down?
No. Basically, you know, I knew he was, you know, he was dead in this, pretty much this dark timber area. It wasn't that big. So we just kind of walked up and down it and walked upon him, found him that way.
No
just
shit.
Dark timber to find him. But yeah, it was, you know, I don't like having to wait 2 hours, 3 hours to find an animal, but at the end of the day, I found him and it was worth the wait, I guess. Made me work for it, so he's a tough son of a gun.
Well, what's that feeling like? Because you've been hunting elk for, you know, what, 3-4 years now, and hadn't killed a bull yet, and walking up to that first elk, man, like what was that feeling like?
You know, after, you know, hunting those 5 years, the fifth year I've hunted, shot him, and finding actually killing this elk, I mean, it's pretty indescribable. You know, as all elk hunters can attest to, busting your ass 24/7 and trying to kill these amazing animals that somehow live in these mountains. It's something like, you know, I guess it's a bucket list, a dream come true, if you will. Being able to put my hands on them finally, and it's, I couldn't ask for anything more. And I gonna be happier, you know.
It's first pretty years surreal, tough, man.
Oh yeah, it was, you know, should have killed some elk the first years and never came through and couldn't find them, and like to almost to the point where, like last year it was probably the hardest one I'd ever been on, just busting your ass. It's like, is this really worth it? Type of, you know, attitude.
Yeah.
To killing an elk, it's like, you know, elk hunters, I think, you go through the most of just busting your ass, getting your ass kicked, you know, blood, sweat, tears, literally, of getting it to its minute. But you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. It's end of the day, there's nothing like it. And I will never, until I can't walk, not elk hunt out there. So I love it, man.
That's super cool. Congrats for that. That's so cool when you walk up to him for the first time. And what did the breakdown process look like? Did you have a long pack out? What did that kind of look like?
Yeah, it was a process. It's different, you know, being in grizzly country, doing this. And
oh yeah,
so we had a pack, you know, basically got them all quartered out, and at that point we're probably about 7 miles back in there, and we decided to debone it while we're out there just to cut down on some weight.
Yep.
So we quartered it all up and we got the back quarters and our packs and stuff to haul out that evening to hang. So we got those out, and that next morning we went back up and it started raining and it started snowing, which was fun pack out of it. So we're going up, we're snowing on us to get our last pack, and you know, we're sitting there, got a little bite to eat in this little meadow before we're gonna get the last quarters. It wasn't, you know, it's probably, they're hung up about 50 or so yards from the actual kill site, and we're sitting there, all of a sudden this elk comes sprinting out towards us, the wind, like it wasn't us, you know, bumping them out. So it's like, well, crap, maybe there's a, you know, a bear sitting there. So we're like, well, let's just, you know, we'll ease our way in there and see if we can, you know, make sure there's nothing in there. You know, as I'm walking in there, all of a sudden I see this brown thing just sprint in front of me, like in the thick stuff. I couldn't tell what it was. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Josh is gonna get killed.
This is it, man. Well, it was fun. That was a fun hike, right? So yeah, we get in there. I'm like, it's like we're in a James Bond movie. We got like a bodyguard to have the one guy I was with, Jeremy, he was sitting there like watching as I'm untying the quarter from the tree, making sure no bears jump out at us with a gun in the chamber or a bullet in the chamber. So luckily there's no bears. We got out of there and packed them out, and took us 3 trips, packing the quarters and going back and getting our camp and stuff. And, as it got about 10 inches of snow as we're, packing out. So
wow.
It made it fun. I mean, like I said, it gave me all the feels of all the elk hunts, from shooting an elk, grizzly bear country, to awesome terrain, to bugling bulls, to snow. You couldn't ask for anything better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's wild. It seems like the elk killing was probably the easiest part of the hunt, and
damn
finding
right
them and getting on them, literally, pretty damn early, and then just, yeah. a whole bunch of shit going down on the pack out with all the terrain and weather, and 7 miles, that's no joke either, man. That's a long hike.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a nightmare. No, but it was good. Yeah, we were so happy, and I couldn't be happier to get those puppies out and have some beer when I got back to the truck. And we instantly went back to his house and processed all the meat up and cut it up and ground. So, but it's all sitting in Montana right now. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get that meat back.
You got to FedEx it with some dry ice. Just get her back.
There you go. That's the goal. I got a big crew I'm going to send out there to get it back there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good problem to have, for sure.
Exactly. Sure.
So you mentioned that these elk are still kind of herded up in kind of a bed to feed kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Was this more early September, mid-September? What did that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, September, I shot, September 20th, I shot him. So
okay.
I figured, I was playing the moon and stuff. Not a huge moon guy, but I figured in 1 week, might as well play, right? They're bugling, but they were definitely still herded up. And you definitely still had your satellite raghorns with cows.
Mm-hmm.
There was no herd bulls, and at least the ones I was going after. So I made it interesting. We were calling to them. They weren't really coming in. They're coming in to 50 or so yards, couldn't really get shots, and they weren't the bulls I was really looking after, lost spikes. So I knew, just basically wanted to get in the herd, and I'm not picky. Like I said, it's my first one, so I wanted the first legal bull I could go shoot. And, I had a feeling when there's a herd of 10 cows, there's going to be a satellite raghorn somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteeing you, though, there's not an elk in there in the cows that, this past week or week two, man, I'm sure there's some dandy herd bulls pushing their arms around. So.
Oh, I bet. One thing I noticed here in Colorado this year was that the rut was pretty damn late, like even up until like the 20th.
Yeah.
Like you're describing it.
Yeah.
There just wasn't a ton of bugling, and it seemed like there just wasn't a lot of like hot rut action, and
no.
Then kind of more like the mid, like 25th, 26th.
Yeah.
Like the last week it really started to pop, but up until that point it was pretty non-existent or pretty slow for sure.
I would agree. And that's my brother. He was in Wyoming the same week. He shot an elk as well. Same thing. They're bugling, but they weren't really coming on the calls. They weren't really aggressive. So he shot his over a wallow.
Wow.
That's the game they're playing. So
yeah.
It's like, I completely agree. I think the rut was just a little later this year. I think it was definitely like the 25th, 26th. Man, I bet it was just nuts. I wish I could have been out there, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was wild. And like on September 9th, I was hunting with my brother and stepson Dominic, and we went out and we had 3 6x6 bulls. They were like 3-year-old bulls. They weren't giants, but we had 3 6x6s, single file line, walk right in front of us. I mean, that tells me that
Wow. They're
still in like bachelor groups.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
for
damn
sure.
Near pushing mid September by that time. So
mm-hmm.
it was just a little weird for sure.
I agree. I mean, I figure the moon and stuff, like at least get them going. But, yeah, it was definitely a lot later than typically been, in my opinion. I figured, too, up there, like I hope, you always see them being in Montana. I was hoping that it would be just a nut fest, but, whatever. End of the day, it was a dead elk, so I can't.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Getting mad about it.
It doesn't matter which way you scratch it, which way you cut it, you still got one on the ground. That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Now, did you see any other hunters? Did you get into any hunting pressure there, or just was it kind of non-existent?
Non-existent.
Really?
Non-existent.
Wow.
You know, maybe that plays into grizzly country, you know, maybe keep people out, I don't know, but it was, yeah, I think we saw another truck driving in, that was it, for people wise, so it's just nice, you know, out there not having to worry about, is that a guy bugling, is there a guy over there, you know,
like, yeah,
you know, there's elk that I'm going to go after, it's an elk for sure.
Yeah, that's super cool, man, that's really cool. Did you change anything up with your setup for this year and like from years past in regards to like a different pack, or I know it sounds like you changed up your arrows a little bit, but any other major changes like in your gear setup?
I've been definitely going on lighter, and you know, like I said, I'm a guy who likes to go in ways and get back with different people, so I really focus on keeping stuff light. So this year I switched out my tent system, got the Stone Glacier, it's a tarp tent style.
Yeah.
Keeping it super light. You know, keeping a lot of my food light. I'm not quite to the point where, you know, doing all dry foods, you know, I have to have at least dinner at night.
Yeah.
A jet boil. But you know, so I think I was, every year I get lighter, and you know, I swear every year, you know, I tell myself I have enough equipment and stuff, but I keep buying more and more equipment. And the lighter you go, the more expensive they go, I swear.
Yeah, for sure. It can get out of hand, and I'm the same way. You know, the first year I was just biggest pack you can have, loaded to the gills with all sorts of gear that I may need in a hypothetical zombie apocalypse, and now I've just cut her back, and I just have this tiny pack, but it's still an external frame, and just go bare minimum, man, and it just feels a lot better, and you really don't need a whole lot. Everyone overthinks it.
You don't. I completely agree, man. I've seen, you know, hiking by past people and stuff. They've got like their boots and stuff, like other boots. I'm like, man, that's a lot. You know, they'll learn. Like, you don't need that much. You need just the essentials to survive, and you'll be fine. And it's worked out. And you feel a lot better. You know, you're not hiking with extra weight or not.
Yeah.
In the mountain.
100%. 100%. What's next year look like for you? Are you planning on like you're gonna bomb right back to that same spot in Montana, or what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking about coming out your way here, third season.
No kidding, sweet.
Doing a little over the counter elk hunt. So we'll see. I'm gonna try to get out there to the Eagle area, get back there, and you know, maybe he's up to, but definitely, man. I think I'll, you know, next year my goal is I've got some points built up in Wyoming that I may go to Wyoming. If I don't draw Wyoming, I'll probably go back to Montana for sure.
Wow, sweet.
I think it'll be when you kill an elk out there and you see the amount of elk, it's pretty hard to want to go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I love Colorado, and I'll always hunt here, obviously, because I live here. But I just need to start getting out of the state and hitting some different areas and getting some different experiences. So hopefully I can find the time to start doing that.
Well, yeah, when you're a father now, so you know, I guess I'll go hunt for you if you want. I'll help you out.
Yeah, get me a bull, Josh, and I just want to take a picture with it.
Or bring Everett out with you, John. So
exactly.
I think it's a win-win for him.
He'll be packing elk here before too long.
Give him 1 year, right?
Yeah. We'll load him up with like a pound of meat. That's no problem.
Gotcha. He'll be fine. That's awesome. Okay. He's going to be a killer. I know that for a fact.
I hope so, man. I hope so. He can do anything he wants in life, but I'm damn for sure going to make him be a hunter. I don't care. Like, he's going to hunt. No ifs,
oh,
ands,
damn
buts.
Right he is.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a killer for sure.
Oh, it'll be cool. Well, that's sweet. You're thinking about coming out for rifle season. I'm going to do the same. I'm just kind of figuring out if I want to do second or third, and going to kind of play it by ear, you know, based on time and what I have, and then also seeing what the weather's doing, and maybe just doing some scouting in some of the areas I've been checking out and make a game time decision. So we'll see.
Well, you can see next year's season in Colorado get pushed back a few or a week or something. Like,
yeah,
I think it's going to be really good the next few years in Colorado for like rifle seasons.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, yeah. And archery seasons are getting pushed back a week and, you know, not starting until September. Yeah, it makes so much more sense. I'm glad they're doing it that way.
Me too.
Well, sweet, brother. Well, I know we're kind of short on time here, and I know you got to catch another flight. When do you take off here in, like, 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, I take off here in 20 minutes and head to Arkansas.
Nice. What
Arkansas, so yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on, Josh, and it was great catching up. I'll give you a call soon and we can chat some more, but I really just wanted to hear your story.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You know, the first bull down, that's something special, so I'm glad to have you on, man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. As always, I love coming on here and chatting with you and catching up, and it's always fun. And again, congratulations on the newborn. And keep up the great work. I love your podcast. You're killing it. I love listening to your stuff. It's fun watching you grow as well. So keep
Thanks,
it up.
My brother.
And definitely we'll stay in touch. And
thanks.
Hopefully you get out this year, and if not, next year.
There's always next year, right? Sounds good, man. Well,
exactly.
I'll talk to you soon, and hopefully we can link up when you're out here in Colorado here in a month or so.
For sure. I hope so, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. You take care. We'll catch you on later.
Talk to you later. Right. Yeah.
Right. See ya. All right, and there we go. Big thanks to Josh for coming on the show. Really enjoyed having you, man. You're my buddy, my pal, my amigo, and can't wait to catch up with you again. So congrats again on that bull. All right, for everybody who's still out there grinding, didn't get something in archery season, or you held off and you're busting out the boomstick like I am, and you're hunting first or second, third or fourth rifle in Colorado, make sure you go to transitionwild.com. Subscribe, and I will send you the Colorado Beginner Elk Hunting Guide for free. It just kind of, it's a Kickstarter 10-page PDF that gets you started with hunting here in Colorado, from scouting to gear to, you know, when to hunt, big game statistics, draw odds, kind of learning that whole system, and, you know, a lot of information and articles related to elk hunting. So pretty cool stuff. Go to transitionwild.com, subscribe. I will send you that for free. All right. Thanks again to our sponsors and partners, Expedition Archery, Skull Brew Coffee, and Outdoor Edge Knives. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.